It's smart to mind your manners.
Yes, boys and girls, it's time to mind your manners with Alan Ludden and his panel of typical teenagers. From the studios of WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, the National Broadcasting Company brings you a teenage discussion session for boys and girls from 8 to 18. But you adults are entirely welcome to sit in on the meeting, so gather around because here he comes, the man who conducts the meeting, that man who makes manners fun, Alan Ludden.
Thank you, Ed Anderson, and hello there, boys and girls. Well, it's time for another of our discussion sessions about the problems of boys and girls from 8 to 18, and we're mighty glad to have you all with us today. It looks like we've got a big meeting, so let's get started. Right now, the meeting's called to order, and as usual, the first item of business is for you to meet your panel. Here they are now. I've introduced themselves, so come in, panel.
Dick Coote, 17 years old, high school senior.
Pat Utley, 16 years old, high school senior.
Taylor Gunning, 17 years old, high school senior.
Dick Unsworth, 18 years old, high school junior.
Arnold Greenberg, 15 years old, high school sophomore.
Ellen Lee, 12 years old, 7th grade.
Well, panel, again this week you heard from your friends all across the country, and again they sent you some interesting problems. So let's go to work. The first letter came from a young man who lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and he will receive $5 in saving stamps for sending us this problem.
I just don't know what to say or do when I'm around girls. I try to talk about things they're interested in, but I think I sound foolish. I'm afraid they think I'm trying to show off when I talk about school and football and what I do in it. So I thought I'd write to you and see if any of those fellas on the panel can give a guy like me some hints that might help me out.
Well, what about it, fellas? Can you give this guy some hints that might help him out? Arnold Greenberg, what are you going to say to this boy in Atlanta, Georgia?
Well, I think if the boy puts himself at ease and just forgets any worries he has, just let himself relax and act natural as if he were among a bunch of fellows, I'm sure then conversation will pour freely and he won't be at loss for any topic of conversation.
You think the girls would like it if he'd feel at ease, is that it?
Surely, that's the best thing.
Well, both the girls have their hands up, but before we hear from them, I want to hear from more of these fellas. Dick Coote, what do you think is the secret of a shy boy, say, who feels a little ill at ease around young ladies?
Well, if the boy is at ease with his mother at home, then he should use that as sort of a basis, the same type of conversation, and with that he could be at ease with any other friends.
All right, consider the girls no stranger to him than his mother is, for instance. Is that your idea?
Well, yes. He'd get the woman's point of view from his mother and just use that on the girls, too.
Fine. What about a Dick Unsworth? What's your word to this boy?
Well, if you're a good listener, you don't have to talk all the time and you don't have to be the one that's on the floor and have something to say. If you listen to what other people say, they'll like you just as much for it as if you have something to say. Also, you're just in the beginning stages. It'll come to you after a while. Relax. Be yourself.
Okay, then that's a good idea. How about that, girls? Do you like boys who are good listeners, Sheila Gunning?
It's wonderful for a boy to be a good listener if he's interested in what the girl has to say as well as in what he has to say.
And sometimes girls do have something to say, don't
they? Most of the time they do. But I wondered if the boy ever thought that the girl might be uneasy, too. Sometimes girls feel a little bit awkward, and if he had a little confidence in himself and just feels at ease, he can make out all right, I think.
Well, I guess everybody's hitting on this business of being at ease. That must be the secret of it. Pat Utley, what's your word?
I guess it must be, but if he doesn't want to talk, he could always get the girl to talk. Ask her questions, and pretty soon you'll find that you can't stop her talking. But when you do talk about generalities. Now, you say you don't want to talk about football. Well, don't talk about a formation that you do or how you played in last Saturday's game, but talk about, how the nation's teams are doing and how all that stuff. I mean,
Talk. Get the girl talking. Now, you see, I have no trouble at all getting Pat Utley to talk. So right along. All right, fine. I hope the young man in Atlanta, Georgia, feels a little more at ease with the girls and takes some helpful advice from this panel here. Now, our question number two comes from a young lady who lives out in Kansas City, Missouri, and this is the problem that she presents to you, panel.
I'm 18 years old, and I want to know if I'm slow or just plain. My girlfriends say that I'm a pet to be popular. Do you teenagers think that's true? These friends argue that it is expected of a girl these days. And unless a boy tries to kiss you on every date, you just can't be sure at all if you're attractive. Please give me your reactions. I need some support.
I think I'll go to the boys first on this question. The girl says she doesn't feel that her friends argue that you can't consider yourself attractive unless the boys try to kiss you on every date. Is that true, boys? What do you think about it, Dick Unsworth?
Well, the girl will have, or rather the boy will have more respect for the girl if he is gently refused. And this also makes more interest, or brings more interest out in the boy, and makes him want to date the girl again.
Oh, you think that you're a little more interested in the girl who doesn't kiss you on your first date. Is that right, Dick?
Yes, sir.
All right, what do you think about it, Arnold Greenberg? Do you think that just because a boy doesn't try to kiss a girl, he doesn't think she's attractive?
I agree with Dick in that It's not absolutely necessary for a boy to kiss a girl on his first date, for the simple reason that a boy goes out with a girl primarily for her company.
Fine. That's a helpful hint to this girl, and I think she's beginning to get some support here from the boys. Now let's hear from the girls. Sheila Gunning, what about this business of thinking that you have to kiss every boy you go out with?
Well, as Dick said, he said that a boy respects a girl much more for not letting the fellow kiss the girl. And I think it works just in the reverse, too, that if a girl lets a fellow kiss her in the first date out a boy loses his respect for a girl. That you're just liable to become unpopular for letting yourself be kissed as you are to become popular among a certain group of boys for being kissed.
And do you particularly want to be popular among that certain group?
That's the type of boys that you don't want to be popular with.
All right, what do you think, Pat?
Well, this girl says she can't be sure if she's attractive or not. You know, there are different kinds of attractiveness, and this girl may have the kind that all the fellas want. The attractiveness of a girl that's just a good young kid. I mean, she's a wholesome American girl. She's not a girl that the fellas take out just to have a lot of fun.
All right. I think that's a very good point. You can tell whether you're attractive pretty well by how many friends you have, don't you think? Boys and girls. Do you think an attractive girl these days has to be one of these slinky gals who all the boys want to kiss the first time they see them? You think that's true? You think that's a typical American girl, Sheila?
I think in high school, especially, a fellow likes a girl he can have a lot of fun with, a girl he can ice skate with or go to the movies with or dance with just and equally as well and have a lot of fun doing everything together, not just being high class and sophisticated.
All right, I think you gave some support to this girl in Kansas City, Missouri, and I hope she's able to argue with her friends now with the backing of her Mind and Manners panel. Right now, it's time for that department of our meeting in which we consider problems submitted by our adult listeners. Last week, we talked about the advisability of teenagers going to public nightclubs where liquor is sold. It was another of those discussions that presented more angles than we were able to take up in one meeting, so we've carried it over into this meeting. In the past week, panel, you had letters from many interested parents, then they want you to tell them how you suggest fair-minded parents decide whether or not a public nightclub is proper for their teenage daughters and sons. And what are some of the valid reasons for telling a teenager that he or she cannot go to such a place? Also, how do you suggest that parents present their reasons? Well, there are your questions from the adults panel. Now, what are your answers? First of all, Dick Coote.
Well, the best way for fair-minded parents to decide whether or not a nightclub is proper is to go there beforehand and just see what it's like.
All right, that's a good idea. In other words, go investigate it. Now, the next question, Sheila, what are some of the valid reasons for deciding that such a place is not proper?
Well, if the parent does go to the nightclub and he sees that teenagers are not in the majority, that most of the people that frequent that place are older people, then that's one good reason why teenagers shouldn't be there. That's one of the best reasons he can give. And if that place has a reputation for being not a good place for teenagers to go, then he can explain very nicely to the teenager that it's just not the place for him to go.
Whose point of view actually should the parent take in explaining that such a place is not really suitable for them to go, for the teenagers to go and have their parties?
Well, if a parent explains that they're just looking out for their child's interest, that they don't want their reputation ruined or that they won't have a good time, a teenager can't help but realize that they're right.
All right, Pat, do you agree?
Well, I agree with Sheila, and I'd like to say something about how the parents should tell the children that they can't go to these nightclubs. I was reading an article on little children, and teenagers are really little children at heart, and it said that whenever...
A lot of adults are, too, I will say, don't you think?
yeah.
All right.
This article says that when you take something away from a child, give something in return. So these parents that tell the teenagers you can't go someplace, say you can go someplace else. Give them another place to go where you know that they'll be happier, and when they go there, they'll know that it's a better place.
And do you think that by a parent so investigating a place in the proper places and the improper places, that do you think teenagers, as a rule, will respect the parents for having taken so much interest in their social welfare, Arnold Greenberg?
The children will definitely appreciate the interest of the parents if the parents sit down and tactfully explain to the children why the place is wrong. I'm sure most teenagers will naturally listen to the parents then, and if the parents have suggested some other place that's just as good or better, it'll be fine. Everyone will be happy.
Makes you feel kind of good when your parents are that interested in you having a good time, doesn't it?
Right.
All right, now next week we hope to have an equally interesting discussion, and we come directly to you, our adult listeners, for the subject. If you'd like to have the honest, straightforward reactions of this panel of typical teenagers on some subject, won't you please write us and let us know what your ideas are? Now we leave our adult problem and turn again to those sent in by boys and girls from 8 to 18. And question number 3 comes to us from West Lawn, Pennsylvania. And for it, a young man receives $5 in savings stamps. Here it is.
I've started to work as a grocery clerk. My very first position And I want to know if I have to give my paycheck to my mother. I'd like to keep my earnings to buy sports equipment, such as fishing rods, tackle, and guns, and shells, high boots, and things like that. But I also want to do the right thing. I'm 15 and a freshman. So what's your word on my problem?
We've got a panel member here we haven't heard a word from all morning. Ellen Lee, what do you say about this question?
Well, he shouldn't take all the money, and his mother shouldn't try to take all of them, but he should keep at least half of the money so he'll know the importance of money, but he shouldn't go out and spend it wildly like he's planning just to buy everything for his own pleasure.
What do you think about handing the paycheck? You don't think so, Ellen Lee, in other words, that he should just hand the paycheck over to his mother?
No, because that way he's not going to learn the importance of money and how to take care of it and how to use it.
Well, and you suggest that he cash the check.
He cash the check and give part of the money to his mother so that his mother will know that he does have a sense of what to do and that if he's in a predicament where he can't have enough money to pay all his bills, that he will have some left over.
That's a good idea. That's a good lesson to learn very young, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you think a lot of adults might learn the same lesson?
Oh, yes.
I do, too, believe me. Now, what do you think about it, Dick Coot? I want to know about this business of boys who earn some money. Do you think they ought to have it all just to go out and buy sports equipment or anything else they want?
Well, no, I think that they should learn early as possible, that money can't be used for pleasure totally. And eventually, they'll have to learn that they have to use it on some of the necessities.
What are some of the things that a boy 15 years old could logically be expected to spend his paycheck for, Arnold Greenberg?
Well, first of all, probably will be dances. Every now and then he'll have either a school dance or a club dance that he'll have to save up some money for. And he also should definitely, with part of his paycheck, buy sports equipment. After all, we don't want to tell the boy not to buy anything. But the point we're bringing out is that the boy should allot portion out his paycheck. In other words, a little for one thing and a little for the other.
Well, that's good. I think we've done some good for this boy in West Long, Pennsylvania. I think it was a very fine discussion. So far today, incidentally, we have awarded 3 prizes of $5 in savings stamps each. And there are 3 more prizes to come, including the grand prize of a $25 savings bond. Yes, sir. Each week we give away 6 prizes, and here is Ed Anderson to tell you how you could win one of them.
Boys and girls, if you have a problem in manners or social behavior, either at home, at school, or at parties, write it out and send it in to Mind Your Manners. Each week we select 5 questions for discussion and award the writer of each $5 in savings stamps. For the best stated and most interesting question, we award a $25 savings bond. All entries become the property of this program. In case of ties, duplicate prizes will be awarded. The decision of our judges is final. Contest closes at midnight on Wednesday of each week. Entries received after that date are considered for the following week's contest. So send your problems in to Mind Your Manners at this address. Mind Your Manners, Department 4, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York 20, New York. Send your entry today.
And now it's time to hear from our studio audience, so how about it, audience? Are you ready for your right-wrong quiz?
Yeah!
Fine, now Eddie Robinson's going to read 5 statements about table manners. Each statement is either right or wrong, and it's up to you to tell us which one it is. When you make up your mind, hold up your hand, and Ed Anderson will pick one of you to speak up for the audience. If you're selected, you get a fine gift. So on your toes now, and tell us whether these statements are right or wrong.
If a spoon is served on the plate with ice cream, you should put the spoon back on the plate when you have finished the ice cream.
Now, is that right or wrong? And everybody's hand is up. What's it?
What
is
yes.
It? Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, you should put the spoon back on the plate. Is that, what's your name, incidentally?
Aaron Cook.
Thank you, Aaron. When you have ice cream at the next birthday party you go to, Aaron, where are you going to put the spoon when you're through with it?
Back on the plate.
Why can't you put it on the table?
Because it wouldn't be polite.
That's right. Thank you, Aaron. Here's a gift for you. Here's your second one, audience.
If you like to eat baked potato skins, it's perfectly proper to do so if you cut the skins with your knife and eat the small bites with your fork.
Is that right or wrong? Here's a...
Wrong.
Oh, you don't think you can eat potato skins, huh?
Yes.
You can? Can you cut them with your knife?
Yes.
But you'd rather eat them with your hands, huh? How do you eat potato skins? Think. He's thinking hard. What?
Hands.
You ate it with your hands. Well, you know, we do. We recommend, actually, that you take the knife and you cut it up and eat it with your fork. So we think that statement's right, but I think that when you really think about it, you'll think it's right, too. I must admit, they're awful good in your hands, but from the table point manners point of view, it's better with a fork. What's your name?
Raymond Paris.
Thank you, Raymond. Here's a gift for you, and here's your third one, audience.
You should always eat cupcakes with a fork.
Is that right or wrong? Gotta eat cupcakes with a fork. What?
Right.
You eat cupcakes with a fork?
Yes.
Oh, well, you're much more polite than I am. You know what I do? I pick them up and eat with my hands. And I read it out of a book, and it's right that you can do that in your hands. So we consider that statement wrong, because cupcakes you can eat with your hands. However, am I all mixed up on this? No, I'm doing all right so far. You get, but if it's a real sticky cake, you can eat that with your fork. You should eat that with a fork. What's your name?
David Hare.
Thank you, David. Glad to hear from you. Here's a gift for you, and here's your fourth one.
Always cut up all of the meat on your plate before you start to eat anything.
Think now. Is that statement right or wrong?
That's right.
You should cut up all the meat in your... We're not doing so well this morning. You should cut up all the meat on your plate before you eat it. Is that right?
Yes.
No, that isn't. We definitely think you should not cut up all the meat on your plate until... Before you start eating, you should cut a bite off and eat it. A bite off and eat it. That's the right way to do it. What's your name?
Bob Cooper.
Thank you, Bob. You learned something today, didn't you?
Yeah.
We're going to be very dogmatic about that one. Thank you a lot, Bob. Here's your fifth one, audience.
A well-mannered person eats quietly and slowly.
Now, if you missed that, I'm just going to leave right now. Is that right or wrong?
That's right.
Thank you. What's your name?
Ann Cave.
You should... What is it?
Ann Cave.
Thank you, Ann. You should always eat slowly, and do you think it's polite to gulp?
No.
No, it isn't. Thank you a lot. Here's a gift for you. And you did pretty well, audience, today. I hope you come back next week and do a little better. You're all invited, incidentally. Right now, though, it's the panel's turn. And we go back to them, and they're confronted with a problem sent in by a girl who lives in Gainesville, Georgia. She has a question which should interest you, and here it is.
In my town, there is a military academy, and most of the town girls date the academy boys. The town boys object to our going with the academy boys, but we have very good reasons. The academy boys can dance and are very polite, while the town boys will push you out of the chair if they get a chance and can't dance at all. So don't you panel members think it's right for us to date the academy boys?
What about this? It's a problem from Gainesville, Georgia. What are those academy boys got that the town boys seem not to be able to do? Dick Coop, what's your word?
Well, I should imagine that they probably have a lot better manners than the town boys.
The girl seemed to indicate that she liked that. Is that right?
Yes. Well, the boys, the town boys should wise up to the fact that if they aren't doing so well with the girls, that it's probably due to their manners.
All right. What do you think about it, girls? Let's hear from Sheila Gunning.
Well, you can't blame the girls for wanting to go out with the academy boys. After all, what girl doesn't like to be catered to by fellas that have nice manners?
Do you think, Sheila, that it's because they go to the academy, or is it because really the boys themselves, as people, are more pleasant?
It certainly isn't because they go to the academy. It's because their manners are nice. They're more pleasant, and they're more... So they watch out for the girls much more than the other fellows, it seems from the letter.
Well, I think I like to hear you girls talk about it. Pat, what do you think about it? Do you think that it's just the manners of the boys, the academy boys, that makes the town girls want to go with them?
I think so. A girl likes a boy with manners. Personally, I don't like to sit on the floor. I wouldn't want any boy to come and push me off the chair. These fellows ought to get smart. Now, come on. Now, you know that the girls like to go out with boys that get manners, and you know that's the reason. So why don't you get together and listen to mind your manners for once in a while?
Well, Pat, I really appreciate that plug. I think that's the word for the boys and girls in Gainesville, Georgia. We'll move on along now, though, to question number five, which comes to us from a college boy in Lincoln University in Jefferson City, Missouri, and he has a problem that goes something like this.
I'm 19 years old and a sophomore in college. I'd like to know if it is wrong to go Dutch with a young lady who is more or less your steady girlfriend when you take her to dinner in a cafeteria.
Here's a problem from a college boy. I don't think it excludes high school boys, though. First of all, let's hear from Ellen Lee. Ellen Lee, what is your decision for this college boy?
It's perfectly all right to go Dutch. If a boy hasn't got enough money to take both the girl and the boy off, there's no reason why they should both sit home and suck their thumbs. If they can get together and both have enough money to go out together, that's perfectly right.
That's what you think at age 12. Ellen Lee, you're going to be 13 pretty soon, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, you're still going to be on our panel because I think you've got some very fine ideas for even the 19-year-old high school boys. Incidentally, girls, Pat Utley, do you think that a girl would mind going Dutch in a high school, in a college cafeteria, if her boyfriend just doesn't have enough money to take her to dinner?
She certainly wouldn't mind. You know, friends are priceless, and guys, if you want his friendship more than you want him to pay for your lunch... I mean, it's better to have him. He's going to be more to you in the long run. I mean, he'll respect you more, too, if you say, well, look, I know you can't afford it, and I'll pay for it.
All right. Do you think, though, incidentally, now, boys, does a boy necessarily lose his pride in a case like this where he very frankly states the situation? Dick Unsworth, do you think he loses his pride in such a case?
No, he certainly doesn't, because from the question, the boy and the girl know each other fairly well, and... It's an almost natural arrangement today to have each pay their own way. I mean, there's no sense in two people having liking each other and having the same general idea, staying apart simply because one can't afford to take the other one out.
All right, and then sometimes they can he can really splurge and really take the girl on a regular date. Sheila, your last word on this subject is okay or no okay?
Oh, it's definitely right.
Well, I hope that helps the boy out in Lincoln University, and the girl, incidentally, I think might be glad of your decision. And now we come to the high point of our meeting. Here's the grand prize question of the week. Here's the question that was judged the best stated and the most interesting of all those submitted this week. And for it, a very fine young girl who lives in Waterville, Maine, will receive a $25 savings bond. So, panel, your very best attention now is invited to this grand prize question of the week.
My sister and I argue over almost everything. I have to give in to her all the time because she's a year older than I am. Is that fair? What should I do? I'm 8 years old and my sister's 9.
That's Pat Utley's young voice, I think. Thank you, Pat. Now, what about this business of quarreling in the family? Do you think that girls... let's hear from Ellen Lee. Ellen, do you have any sisters?
Yes.
You do? Do you have any older sisters?
Yes.
How old is she?
20.
You got any younger sisters?
Yes, she's 9. She's
10,
rather.
Now, you're the older one. Do you think that in your family quarrels with your younger sister, Ellen, does your younger sister always have to give in to you because you're older?
Oh, no, she puts up a good fight.
She does? Well, what about quarreling in the family, Ellen? Do you think it's unnatural?
No. In fact, I think almost every family has the family quarrel. But if it's about those little things, it's not so serious. But don't make it come between your family relations.
What do you mean by that, Ellen Lee?
Well, don't make it so serious that you won't talk to your sister and you refuse to see her or look at her.
In other words, don't really get mad at her. Just a little mad, huh?
No.
What about holding a grudge, Ellen Lee? Do you think that the brothers and sisters or two sisters or two brothers should ever get so mad that they really hold a grudge for a long time?
No, that's not right, because you're sisters and brothers, and after all, you are in the same family, and you shouldn't break up family harmony.
Fine. Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Aunt Lee. Arnold, what's your word on this?
I've got a little suggestion for our 8-year-old friend. Let her give in to her sister for a while, say for a week or 2 weeks or so. And that way we'll see who's really causing the arguments. And perhaps, also, there won't be any more arguments, so that'll fix the matter perfectly.
I wonder if she's ever realized how many people it takes to make an argument. How many people does it take, Arnold?
It takes two to make it, but it only takes one to stop it.
One could give in. She could give in for a week and find out that maybe that there wouldn't be any arguments. Is that right?
That's fine.
Well, do we want to just say here, though, at this meeting, that family arguments just shouldn't be? Pat Utley, you're an only child, aren't you?
Yes.
What is an only child? Who does an only child argue with?
Well, I don't know who they argue with, but it's always one of the parents, and it seems to me I argue more with my mother than with my father.
I see. Mm-hmm. But do you find that really when the arguments get serious, one of you has to give in because, after all, you're pretty good friends?
We're marvelous friends, and it's usually me that gives in, though.
Well, I think that's right. After all, your mother knows best. You've always heard. All right. Mm-hmm. Dick Coote, the last word on this subject is, do you think that 8-year-old girls should worry about arguing with their sisters just so they're just little friendly arguments?
Well, no, certainly not. It makes family quarrels are stimulating. I mean, if they're small, it makes the life more democratic. I was just going to say that it intensifies the family relationships.
You really like them each better if you can kind of argue a little bit, but not too seriously. All right, now here we come. We have to close up our grand prize question of the week. We move right over to the answer box to find the answers to those questions that were sent in but that were not selected for discussion. Today's first question to come from the answer box is...
The question that was left to the boys last week from a girl in Los Angeles, California. Do boys prefer girls who wear hats on informal movie dates? Or would the fellas rather take a girl out who's not quite so dressed up?
Well, we asked for the boys' ideas in this matter of girls' hats, and they came through with some very specific answers. With no exceptions, the boys said that they did not like to take out girls who wear wild, ultra-sophisticated hats. One very clever young man who lives in McPherson, Kansas, described what he thought of girls who wear hats with feathers to movies. It was, to put it briefly, that girls should never wear a hat in a movie that will block the vision of those sitting behind her. Girls of any age, incidentally. Other boys cried out against the current custom of girls wearing handkerchiefs around their heads. They seemed to think that that was as bad as a boy going on a date with no tie. All in all, the letters indicated that teenage boys prefer simple teenage styles in girls' hats, worn with a complete costume of high heels, gloves, and so forth. But if the date is not a dress-up date, then no hat is better than an improvised handkerchief arrangement.
From a boy in Miami, Florida, why is it that teenage girls are so anxious these days to get serious and tie a boy down to going steady?
Well, we'll move right over to the question we leave up to you, and we're leaving it up to the girls. That's the question we're going to leave up to the girls this week. Let's hear what you have to say in answer to the boy in Miami who asks...
Why is it that teenage girls are so anxious these days to get serious and tie a boy down to going steady?
Only you, the girls at this meeting, can answer that question, so we'll be looking for your letters, girls. Right now, though, it's just about time to adjourn this meeting. Before we do, though, Let's hear from our panel of typical teenagers one more time.
This is Dick Coote with an invitation to the adults to send us their comments on our adult discussion period.
This is Dick Unsworth. If any of you fellows have problems, send them along to us here at Mind Your Manners. We'd like to consider some real men's problems in this meeting.
This is Sheila Gunning, reminding you to be sure to put your full name and address on your cards and letters.
This is Arnold Greenberg. Remember, this program is for all boys and girls from 8 to 18, and we depend on you to give us our discussion subject.
That means you boys and girls who are younger than teenage are in on this show, too. Oh, yes, this is Ellen Lee.
And this is Pat Utley with our address. Got a pencil handy? Okay, here it is. Mind Your Manners, Department 4, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York 20, New York.
Again, panel, I'd like to speak for all of our members and congratulate you on the fine job you did today. We'll all be looking for you next week when we'll be faced with some more problems sent in by your friends across the country. I'll be calling the meeting to order at this same time next week, so let's make a date right now. Hope you all have a wonderful week. Drop us a note, will you? This is Alan Ludden saying goodbye now.
Yes, boys and girls, this is your show. If you have a problem about social behavior, either at home, at school, or at parties, send it in to Mind Your Manners. You may win one of those six prizes. Remember, the best question wins a $25 savings bond. Mind Your Manners is produced by Robert DeFore. This is Ed Anderson reminding you that Alan Ludden will be calling another meeting to order next week at this same time, and you're invited. So we'll see you then, and in the meantime, remember,
it is smart to mind your manners.
Mind Your Manners has come to you from the studios of WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. Here's word about your wonderful Sunday on NBC. Norman Pickett, the gifted 9-year-old musician who won last week's Horace Heights show, will defend his title against New Jersey's Young Entertainers tomorrow. It promises to be an exciting battle of talent, so be sure to listen for Horace Heights' original Youth Opportunity Program. Part of your wonderful Sunday on most of these NBC stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.